and then we have to wrap it up, okay?
Speaking of 1988, is there a program for Jesse Jackson campaign
that is not like? I had a good conversation with Jesse Jackson just a couple of weeks ago. And I asked Jesse the same questions I'm asking all the other candidates. And Jesse told me, because see, he doesn't have, you know, his staff has got to be more representative too. And he told me he was going to work on that. And I think that that's critical in terms of, you know, if you like Jesse, work with him. And he's definitely right on all the issues. But he also has got to have what we're talking about, have to have a staff that reflects the rainbow that he's talking about. And he thinks, he told me, you know, we had a good conversation. We were on a press conference together the next day. And he told me that he was going to work on it, and I believe him. I think he is.
Yeah, I guess something that you say disturbs me a bit. And I think it is important to ask candidates how they stand and how many women are on their staff and things like that. But I think it's also important to look at a candidate's history and how consistent they have been around particular issues.
Yeah, you're right.
All right? And I think that Jesse Jackson stands out as someone that is very solid on South Africa, very solid on Central America and Nicaragua, very solid on blacks and poor folks in this country, consistently. So, and you're smiling, but then you say, well, I don't have somebody that I can support. Now, this is the problem also, I'm sorry, let me just finish. I think it's the problem, this kind of got to me a little bit when this came up, I guess I'm getting a little hot.
That's good.
The problem
That's fine.
My view now, last time around, when they supported Mondale from the Soviet, this is a
okay.
When they were very clear on what the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, I know Nally's going to come out and do it this time. We got the pressure, but I know Nally's going to do it. The message I got from Nellie Steele last night was that nobody is out there that's actually supporting women sufficiently that we can lend our support to them. We need to run a woman, okay? Now, what I'm saying is that there is somebody out there on the women's issues, Jesse is weak, and I'm fighting up in the rainbow.
Right.
Around women's issues. So nobody can criticize me for not being it. I'm fighting around it. But on every other key issue for black women, Latin women, age in this country, ain't nobody else. And he is good on those issues. Not excellent, but he's good and he's consistent. So
yeah.
I really need to say it. You can't let it get around him, you know?
And Jesse knows that I know it's good. That's very true. And I think that it's critical, and I'm glad that you're involved in that campaign, and I think that's critical. But it's also critical. You know, issues and history of issues is absolutely essential, and you're absolutely 100% right. Jesse understands what I was asking of him, and I think he's going to correct it. I really do. I really believe that he's going to. He told me he was. You know, and he's looking hard. And so I think you always have to challenge candidates, whomever they are. I mean, even if it was my brother, I would challenge him, you know, or my sister. Because you see, if you don't challenge candidates, everybody else is. And so they are lean toward whoever is doing that challenge. Lean toward whomever is the squeaky wheel, if you will. So we have to do that constantly. The other thing, though, I want us to remember is that we may not agree 100%. The people in this room, again, come from different histories and different backgrounds. And we may not agree 100% on whom we feel finally, you know, feel that we want to support. But I want us to be tolerant of each other. As long as we have the same goal, it's okay in a primary sometimes not to have every one of us supporting the same candidate. As a matter of fact, I've often suggested that Hispanics, I'm very active, of course, with Hispanics, and I've often suggested that we need somebody in each camp. That's what I'm suggesting to the candidates, that they have a top Hispanic in every single camp. The reason I do that is because there's no guarantees. And there's no guarantee, if we put everything that we have in one basket, we may not have access to the one that wins. So I'm always, I don't know where I'm going to end up yet. I may not, because I'm a national officer, may not be given that option. But I do think it's critical that every single candidate have a reflection of what exists in the society. You know, have blacks, have Hispanics, have Asian Americans, have Native Americans, have women, you know, in their, on their staff, so that whomever wins that nomination has somebody that we can access. You can never get to the candidate all the time because they get busy. So you've got to have somebody there that, that you feel comfortable accessing. Oh, I'm sorry. This woman here and then you. And then, and there was one back there, and then we have to go. I'm sorry. I could stay all afternoon. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Lynn Rodriguez, and I'm the treasurer of Bronx Now, and I'm also the executive director of my own organization called People Educating People. My history about my race for office in the Bronx was I ran for city council against the person who's presently our borough president of Bronx, okay? He was, at that time, very iffy on all the issues, because there were some key issues before the city council regarding appropriations for the Bronx. He didn't even want to discuss, and that was just about living, employment, and all of that. I mean, the housing issue, really. And then all of a sudden, he comes out very heavy with union money to do this housing, but that's for him. For myself, I was told by Stanley Friedman, who I'm quite sure everybody heard about in this room, that if I insist on running, if I persist in going after this council seat, they were going to have another person whose name was like mine on the ballot and use initials. And that when you go to the ballot, you wouldn't know that the insurgent position was at the top and the incumbent was at the bottom. So they would have seen two L. Rodriguez's and would have thought either one would have been me, and that would have been my crutch in the end, and that I couldn't do anything because he's the county chair. I said, no problem, you'll get yours. And as everyone saw, he did. But I mean, that was a wish held by a lot in the Bronx that he would finally, you know, disappear. But in the regards to what you said on how to bring this message, I would say figuring that those present at this conference are activists in their own right. And that each panel member, each facilitator, the conference organizers, we're all activists. And it's those messages I feel that were made this yesterday, today, and wrapped up on tomorrow's program would be what Loretta asked me, okay? She said that with each message of bringing it back home to the sisters who weren't here this weekend for the conference, and my challenge is, are you prepared to not just code all this information you've gleaned into yourself and not tell the people who comprise your volunteers, your whoever, back home that help you in your organization? And if in fact you're going to keep that inside, what the hell is the sense of this up here for 3 weeks, 3 days, you know, and getting all this information, and that's where and as far as it goes. I think that's to be that's the most key thing for this weekend, to bring the message back home on what was discussed here and get ready for 1988, Loretta.
I'm ready.
Okay. Good.
No, okay. For next year's conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go real fast now because I know Loretta has to move the agenda. So we've got the lady back here and then this one, and that'll be it, and then I'll say goodbye.
I'm making sure this is me. I address the emotion of my strategy. I think the politics of power is a good solution to something that we do have to focus our attention on, but I'd like to bring this back down to basics and go back to the point that you made earlier in the presentation, and that is usage of the word minority. In what situations are we considered minority? It's a group, the psychology of learning, it's very, very powerful, and we have
You're right.
extremely passionate of it. You know, and I stress that from my vocabulary, my niece, how we first heard something a little bit less minority, she is the majority. I mean,
we're people of color.
Other terminology, women of color, people of color, whatever else you want to use, but please, I beg everybody to not keep referring to ourselves as minorities, because then we can always be seen within that context as a minority, and it takes away a lot of that one.
Excellent point.
I'll tell you what, the next time I say it, somebody pinch me, and every time you hear that in this conference, let's have somebody pinch you, okay? So we're going to get ourselves out of using that word. Okay, final question here.
I just want to say this. I challenge every woman in this room to get involved with someone.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that causes the youth to death was the lack of knowledge. The system would have you think it's not bullshit. The only thing we lack is experience. I ran the chances all the way, and I got my mark. But I'm really quite satisfied. That's all I'm going to say.
We're just going to wrap this up real quick. I wanted to make a couple of points to close out the session. I think the first thing is that if any of you have the faintest idea that you want to run for office, start thinking about it here today and let people know and let now know and run for office. We need you all out there. The other thing I wanted to let you know about me was I'm the first minority woman to ever be appointed to head.
The first woman of color.
The director of affirmative action in the city and county of Denver. And to me, that I was really amazed when I learned that. And I am only the sixth woman ever, woman of color, to ever have been appointed by the mayor of Denver to a cabinet level position. So we have a long way to go out there. And I want everyone to be out there and holding your officers and the different people in elected positions accountable for what they're doing and who they're hiring. And like she said, flood them with resumes. There's no set, you know, when they always tell you that we can't find any qualified women or people of color to fill those positions, it's not true. They're just not looking for you. So flood those people with your resumes. And also, the other foremost important point that was made today that I want to reemphasize is there's a real move afoot these days, whether it's in politics or in any of the issues, to divide people of color and all the different groups that have been seen as minority groups, and I use that word, in the past because it's really expedient. A divide and conquer theory works. Do not allow yourselves to be pitted against your white sisters, your Native American sisters, your other people of color in the different groups. It's very difficult for us to get things passed when we're fighting amongst each other. We need to go as a united group. I'm supposed to give an announcement about the change of schedule again. Okay. After there's going to be a Latina meeting after the plenary closes, which will be changed here in a minute tonight, and it'll be at the Blitz at the Howard Inn at 7:30. Okay. Then the tonight at 7:30. There'll be a meeting of the Latina Coalition at the Blitz at the Howard Inn caucus at 7:30. From 3:30 to 5:00 will be the workshop session 6. From 5 to 6:30 will be the slideshow and the film. And from 6:30 to 7:30 will be the closing plenary. Okay. I know you. Sure. 3:30 to 5 is the workshop session 6. 5 to 6:30 is the slideshow and film, and then 6:30 to 7:30 is the closing plenary.
Did y'all say you wanted this announced one more time? Okay. 3:30 to 5 is the next workshop session, which is workshop session 6 in your plenary. 5 to 6:30 is the slideshow, the one on abortion, every woman's right, and La Operación. And 6:30 to 7:30 is the closing plenary. At the end of that closing plenary, the Latina caucus will have a meeting in the Blitz over at the Howard Inn. Shereen, do you have an announcement?
Just to ask for the open letter to the Middle Waters, turn it back to Rosie.
I also have another announcement. Our sisters in North Carolina called to ask if we would join them on June. This says June 6th.
It is June 6th.
June 6th in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm going to sort of briefly give you the background on this. On March 3rd, 1979, members of the KKK, and for those of you who don't know what that stands for, it's Ku Klux Klan, killed five members of the Communist Workers Party in Greensboro, North Carolina. There was a trial and the KKK was acquitted, which is not unusual in the South. Anyway, the KKK is holding a march on the 7th and now is joining with other organizations on the 6th to hold a march as well. The assembly point in Greensboro, North Carolina is at Washington and Bloodwood Streets. And if you need more information, the person to call is Maura, M-A-U-R-A, Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N. And her number is area code 919-288-7184. I'm going to leave this out at the registration desk and paste it to the table so you can check it. The other announcement is that there are still concert tickets available. They're $8 and we want you there. It's starting at 9. Bring your noisemakers, bring your voices, and bring all of your good time feelings because we're going to have a good time. Now, workshop session 6 begins now.
Okay, one other quick announcement. We have an honored guest that just joined us. We have with us Carlotta Tunnerman, the wife of the ambassador from Nicaragua. And she's here today.
Thank you very much. It's really an honor being here with you, and keep it up. And nothing of minorities. That's finished.
Okay, thank you.
One other thing, as you know, at all now events, if you can't afford to pay what we ask, you pay what you can afford. So come to the dance and pay whatever you can afford. We want to see you there and we want to have a good time.
It's going to be right here. Right here at 9 o'clock or thereabouts. From now on, I'm going to put approximate time on program. With the panelists for the international panel, please come forward because we're going to have a serious international panel and we've got to get started because we've got people from all over the world for this panel. Please, if you're not going to stay in the panel, leave the room.
Shereen, can you send me a copy of this picture?
This is very important.
Excuse me, get out the way, Shereen. We're trying to get a picture.
Okay, we don't know where the open letter is to Assemblywoman Waters. If somebody, the last person that had it, will they please find it and give it back to Rosie Rye?